This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
When I was in Bible school, they told us the story of Jesus when he was in a storm with the disciples on a boat. Remember, they woke him up and they said, "Jesus, we're about to die." And he stood up and he spoke to the storm. He spoke to the waves. He spoke to the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, we were Bible school students. We all knew this. And then this minister said, "Whenever you speak on children or money, there will be a great calm in the audience as well." And so this morning, the good news is I'm not speaking on children. But I am going to talk about money. As we talk about this morning, planting financial seeds. And it's a big part of what God talks about. It's a big part of our life. And for those of you who are guests, and this is your first time at the Ark, welcome. We're so glad that you could be here. And I know I just confirmed every suspicion you had about large churches, that they always talk about money. But if you go back and listen to us, we don't talk about it. In my opinion, we don't probably talk about it enough. And yet it's key. Jesus said this when he's talking about God's kingdom. He said it works like a seed. He said the kingdom of heaven is as a mustard seed. So it's something tiny that we sow. And I want to talk about that this morning. And I think this crowd will probably appreciate it. I definitely expecting great calm in some of our latter services. But I think many of you, as I look around and I know many of you, you'll understand exactly where I'm coming from. But I ask the question, why aren't people more excited about this? What's the reason? I mean, in some areas, in some churches, every time they receive the offering, everybody has to clap. And so why aren't people more excited about this area? And so let me just kind of cover some of the barriers to this, barriers to sowing and reaping, especially financially. And here's one of the first ones that comes up. I think some people, especially how you were raised, some people have been raised that God is not interested in our only spiritual things. He's not interested in money. That money is... Money, in fact, one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible is that money is the root of all evil. Ever heard that one? Money is the root of all evil. It's amazing. We'll come to church and go amen, and then tomorrow we're out there working, trying to get some of that evil stuff into our banking accounts. Listen, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Money's neutral. Money's not evil. It just sits there. It's green. It's got a nice texture to it. It's not evil. In fact, you can take $1,000 and you can buy drugs with it. Or you can take $1,000 and help send mission teams to foreign countries. You can support church planting all over our area. You can support orphans. Money's not evil. It's neutral. It's what we do with it that matters the most. And so as we think about it, the people say, well, God's not, he's not interested in that. He's only interested in spiritual things. And that really is not the truth. Here's another one. People have a barrier to this because they have a skepticism about preachers and money. And there's something about preachers and money that people are like, you know those preachers and money. In fact, I heard about three clergymen that they chipped in, won a lottery ticket, won $2 million. So they got together and that's what I said, hallelujah. So I said, they got together and they were deciding how they're going to split it up, and they were getting ready to split it up and had all that money in front of them. And the Catholic priest, he said, wait a minute. He said, shouldn't we give some of this to God? And they all went, yeah. And they said, well, what should we give to God? The Catholic priest said, I got a good idea. He said, we're going to draw a circle right here. He said, and we're going to throw everything up in the air. And whatever lands outside the circle, that's God's. Whatever lands inside the circle, that's ours. They thought about it for a moment. Then the Jewish rabbi, he spoke up. He said, I got a better idea. He said, let's draw that circle. We'll take all the money. We'll throw it up into the air. And because it's been a little bit windy, whatever lands in the circle's God. Whatever lands outside the circle, that's ours. So they asked the Baptist preacher what he thought. He said, I got the best idea of all. What? He said, forget the circle. We're going to take all the money. We're going to throw it up in the air. Whatever God wants, he can keep. Whatever lands is ours. And if that's what you think about preachers and money, listen, I understand that. But how many of you realize that, and people say, I know that I know this preacher. He took the building fund, ran off with the church secretary. I want to assure you that's not going to happen here. One, I don't have access to the building fund. Two, Wilma's been my administrative assistant for 19 years. She's not going anywhere with me. And three, Joy's family's Italian, and they know people that know people. And so we're safe here. But the real truth is, you know, there are bad people in every good profession. There are doctors that write prescriptions for people who have no business having prescriptions written. There are teachers who are abusive of students, but that doesn't make doctors wrong. We don't stop going to doctors and we don't stop taking our kids to schools. Yes, there's bad people in there. So what is it about it? Part of it is this. Part of it is our money and our heart are very connected. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. When I moved to Texas, I was really interested in a couple of things. I was a Wrangler salesman, and I was selling Wrangler jeans. I was kind of working the rodeo circuit as best I could. I looked ridiculous in a hat, but I did go with the boots and the jeans and the shirts. And I was thinking about learning how to two-step and how to party, and I wasn't thinking about God at all until I met a young, dark-haired Italian girl whose life convicted mine, and when my heart turned toward God, everything changed. In fact, I came back to the Lord on a Friday, and on Sunday, I told Joe, I said, we're going to go to church. We weren't even married. We just met. We were just really dating a little bit. And I took her to a church. She said, where? I said, well, I don't know. There's one down the street. So we went in, and I don't remember what the message was. I just remember it. I wanted to go to church. And when the offering came around, I wrote a tithe check. And not only did I write a tithe check, I wrote some for back tithes because I figured I owed God something. And I wrote a tithe check. But what I'm saying is, whether my theology was right, my heart was right. And it's when your heart changes. And so what we often find is our money and our heart is connected. I think the last reason is a lot of times people haven't bought into the idea of sowing and reaping. You know who buys into that idea? The world. If you look up universal laws, I'm not suggesting you follow any of them, but universal laws, these are people who are talking about laws of the universe. Anybody ever heard that? Laws? These are universal laws, universal principles. Some think there's 7, some think there's 12, some think there's 20, some think there's 105, which is way, way too many for me. But one of them that almost everyone agrees on is what they call the law of cause and effect. And they say it's the boomerang effect. What you give out comes back. Some will even quote the New Testament. As it says in the New Testament, they won't quote Jesus, but they said, as you sow, so shall you reap. And so even people in the secular realm understand that there's some spiritual principle behind the idea that what I sow is going to come back into my life. In fact, Jesus said it very clearly, very specifically, when he said, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So he's very clear about that. That was Jesus. In fact, it was Pastor Osteen that used to have us stand and quote that verse and speak that verse. Give and it will be given. I appreciate my heritage. I appreciate that I was taught to do it. And so for some of you that maybe have not been taught along these lines, this will be new. For some of you who've heard this, this will be old stuff. But it's always good to remind ourselves that there are spiritual laws and spiritual principles and they work. Now, this morning, I want to share a story right out of the New Testament, a story about Jesus and a young boy who planted a seed. I'm going to read this story. This is where Jesus fed the 5,000. Now, it's interesting that all four of the gospel writers mention this story. All four of them talk about it. They bring a little bit different perspective this morning. We're going to read, I believe it's Mark's version, or is it Luke? It's Mark's. So when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By the time it was late in the day, his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. And when they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to all the people. He also divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. When Jesus was in this story, I like the fact that it says that when Jesus saw the large crowd, he was moved with compassion towards them. Moved with compassion, he saw them and he taught them many things. That was taking care of some of their spiritual needs. Other gospel writers say he saw them, he was moved with compassion, and he healed them. So he's teaching them, he's healing them, which is their physical needs. And when they were hungry, Jesus did not opt to send them away. He fed them. Which is great if you're thinking God is only interested in my church life, only interested in my spiritual life. No, God is interested in every area of your life. Jesus didn't say, well, I've just fed them spiritually. They're on their own. He said, no, you give them something to eat. And of course, this freaked the disciples out. But Jesus asked a great question. He said, what do you have? He didn't say, what do we don't have? He said, what do you have? And the disciples immediately begin to think about money. Now you think about it. The number of people, I think the minimum number was 5,000 because they said it was just the men. If we're counting women and children, that number can go, listen, anywhere conservatively from 7,000 to 10,000. If you're going to feed from, let's say you're going to feed 10,000 people at $3 a head, that's $30,000. That's a lot of money. Evidently, the disciples were thinking, this is about to break the bank. This is all we have. But Jesus wasn't looking for what they had money-wise. He was simply looking for a seed. What do you have that I can use? And I like this is what John tells us. John's the only one that tells us a little boy was involved. You say, here's the boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will that go among so many? So he's saying, look, Jesus, this is all we got here. This is a little boy. He's got some food, but this is not going to be enough. You know, when you're planting seeds, your seeds are, or when you plant them, you're thinking, that's not enough. I've got big needs. I've got big things going on. But it's seeds. The seeds have the ability to be multiplied, especially when you put them in Jesus' hands. And I can imagine that little boy, just when they're looking around for food, I can imagine he's just so excited to give his food to Jesus. He just was probably sitting there going, I got some food, Jesus. I got some food. And Simon Peter's brother, Andrew, found him. He said, I got a little guy here. He's got some food. It's not much. And that boy's probably sitting there thinking, I'm giving my food to Jesus. This is great. You know, and Jesus didn't go, oh, no, he needs that lunch. Jesus said, bring it to me. And then Jesus took those loaves and he looked up to heaven and he thanked God and he blessed them and he broke them and began to pass them out. Now understand this, you've got people sitting in groups of hundreds and fifties. Could you imagine how that worked? Now here's something I like. Jesus did not create something out of nothing. He used a seed. What do you have? I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He used that. He didn't just say poof and everyone all of a sudden had a meal right in front of them. And so he broke them, he gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them. So you can imagine, and that little boy was in the group, he's probably sitting with a group of 50. So here's a dad and the disciple hands him a piece of bread. And he looks in, he breaks it off. And he hands it to his wife. And she breaks some off to give to the little ones. And Bubba always eats more than anybody else, breaks off a bigger piece for him and gives it to him and then passes it along. Pretty soon all of a sudden the fish comes along and he breaks some off, he passes it along. But then it starts coming back. And someone nudges him and hands him a piece of bread again. He breaks it off and he hands it to his wife. She breaks it off and hands it around and feeds the kids and then the fish. And then somebody, all of a sudden someone's nudging him again. The bread's coming around again. Now he's like, I'm done. I'm full. And he gives it to his wife and she breaks some off, puts it in her pocketbook because she knows Bubba's going to be hungry and there's nothing at home. And so she puts on and then she hands it. And finally, you got everyone sitting around. Everyone is filled. Aren't you glad they didn't say they were half filled, just a little bit filled? God filled them up. And not only did he fill them up, there was an abundance left over. And Jesus said, gather up the fragments that nothing is lost. And he took up 12 baskets. Now I can imagine this is not in the scriptures. This is Alan's interpretation. But I believe that little boy walked home with more stuff than what he walked in with. Because I bet you Jesus found him and said, let him carry a basket on home. And I bet that little guy walked in and said, Mama, look what we've got. We've got food. Because somebody was willing to sow a seed. Somebody was willing to put that out there. Someone was willing to have it leave their hand and go in God's hand. And when it hit Jesus' hand, he's able to do something with it. Now, that's the idea of sowing seeds. That it's not just leaving our hand. It may leave your hand. It doesn't leave your life. So as we talk about it, I want to share a passage of Scripture that teaches us how to sow, the right heart to sow, and then the results of when we sow or when we give. It's found in 2 Corinthians. But this I say, he, and Paul is writing to the church, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That's a wonderful passage. It's one of my favorite passages when it comes to finances. That's one of my favorite ones. Well, why? Because it tells us how to sow. And it says, really, if we sow a lot or little, it's up to us. It's our call. He said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You sow a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit. You sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Let me stop right now, because this is where people go, and I've had them say this to me, Alan, when I'm able to, I'm going to be a big sower. I'm going to be a big giver. I remember a guy came to the church one time, and he was going to the church. He said, God, I've got to meet with you. And he laid out these plans that he was going to buy Camp Strake and going to donate a bunch of acreage to the church. And I'm looking at this thinking, wow, he's going to donate 100 acres to us right there on I-45. But then I thought, wait, hang on a second. Because here's the thing. You don't have to wait till you hit the lottery to be able to sow. You don't have to wait till something big comes in to sow bountifully. Because this is what people think. Alan, I can't sow. I don't want to sow because mine isn't much and I can't give much. Listen, it's really interesting. But Jesus, Mark and Luke talk about this. Jesus sat one day across from the treasury at the temple. He's sitting there, and you understand these people aren't writing checks. So whenever they bring their offering in, they bring in bags or they bring in coins. And he's watching people throw in bags of money. He said, rich people, put in a lot of money. And then a little widow comes in and she throws in a couple of coins. We might say today she throws in $2. And Jesus stops everybody and said, hey, hang on. He said, this lady has given more than everybody. And I'm sure the disciples are like, oh, okay, here he goes again with some illogical, we don't understand. But what he's saying is, he said, they all gave from their surplus. She gave from her need. She gave all she had. So she gave 100% of everything. She gave everything she had. So listen, this is exciting. God looks at percentages, not total amounts. If you got $100,000 in the bank and you give a $1,000 check, wonderful, that's great. You gave 1%. If you have $100 in the bank and you give $10, you've given 10%. You've actually given more in God's eyes. Does that make sense? It's God's math. And it's different, which means everyone can sow. I remember, was it years ago, Joy, someone sowed a nickel? They didn't have a job, and they sowed a nickel. And you saw a nickel, and you thought, a nickel. Then we thought, whoa. If she didn't have anything, she didn't. She didn't have a job. She was in bad shape, living in a trailer on her mother's property. But she wanted to do something. Everybody can do something. The biggest gift that Joy and I ever gave was when we were in North Carolina. We tried to start a church. It didn't work. We failed. And I'm working for my dad. He was kind to put me on, really couldn't afford to put me on. And we were really living on some really, we were living poor is what we were doing. That's why Joy and I talk about it. We never look back on those days going, do you remember when we were poor? That was such a blessing. That was not a blessing. It was a problem. And we were living poor. And Joy's grandmother had sold some land, and $5,000 came into us. I want to tell you something. When that $5,000 came in, that's like winning the lottery for us. When you're living where you have like no savings and no margin, how many know when $5,000 comes in, and we were looking at that as escape money. This is how we are going to leave North Carolina. We are escaping with. This is our get out of Dodge money. So I'm praying one night, and the Lord interrupted me and just impressed on me to give $2,500 of that away. And I knew I didn't hear right. That's where you do the debate.
Was that me or was that God? Was that me or was that God?
I can tell you, you don't normally think that way. So it had to be the Lord. I said, I went back to praying and that came up in me again. So I did what any smart man would do. I said, Lord, if that's you, you need to tell Joy. So I told her the next day, I said, hey, Lord's impressed and we need to give some of this money away. You should have seen, y'all think Joy's perfect. Joy's eyes got light. Joy wanted to leave North Carolina more than anybody. She's like, she said, how much? I said, you pray about it. She came back. She said, the Lord said half. I went, no. And understanding, and I say, $2,500, you say that's the largest gift you ever gave? That's the largest gift we ever gave percentage-wise, because it was half of about everything we had. And he impressed us to give it on someone else. Listen, everyone can sow bountifully. You don't have to wait till you hit the lottery to be able to give big. You can give big right wherever you are in your life. But there's an idea behind it, is the heart behind it. It says, let every man give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Not grudge, we mean grudgingly. Grudgingly was, I had to make the adjustment from, oh, to getting happy about it. And I remember when we wrote the check out and I put it in the mailbox, I remember a joy hit me and I was excited about it. I'm like, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm glad to do it. You know, giving into God's kingdom is not a have to, it's a get to. And we have the opportunity to do it. And so we were excited about it, able to do it. We give with joy. And we give not under compulsion. If you've never noticed, those of you who are new and you don't know us, you'll just have to take my word for this. We don't pressure people to give here in this church. I've never had someone needs to give $10,000. Someone needs to give $1,000,000. I think it'd be a great idea, but we never look at anyone and say, this is what you have to do. And by the way, no one should ever tell you an amount to give. You don't give under pressure. You shouldn't feel impressed to give. We give, why? Because it pleases God, because it values his kingdom and it acknowledges God. I believe you're my source and you can take, there is more where that came from because you're the source of my life. And you can help me and it can make all the difference in the world. Now, I told you about the 25, let me tell you about the best meal Joy and I ever had, ever. It's actually on a dirt floor in Mexico. When a family, we had gone up to Santa Rosa on a mission trip with Lakewood, about 15 singles with us. And this family brought us in after we did the church service. They brought us in. The floor was dirt. There was a communal stove out like in an area. And they made us eggs and potatoes with tortillas. You say, well, Alan, that was the best meal you ever had. It was the best meal we ever had because it was given with more honor and love. I didn't want to eat it because the people who made it didn't even eat it. They watched us eat. And the man who was my translator said, Alan, so you don't understand this. They rarely ever eat eggs. This is such a delicacy for them. This is such an honor for them. And these people honored us. I choked the food down because I realized it was given with the heart of love and it was given with the heart of compassion and it was given because someone was valuing and honoring God's kingdom. I've had steak, I've had a lot of great meals, but that's the best meal I ever had. So it tells us the heart to give, but then there are some great benefits to giving. And this is where we need to catch on. This is where we need to get excited because listen, we're sowing into God's kingdom. Good things are taking place. And the Bible said, listen, if you're doing that, all grace, God is able to make grace abound towards you. You put something in his hands, now he can do something with it. And when I talk about grace abounding towards you guys, I need you to listen to me. Oftentimes people think, okay, I sow this and someone's going to walk up and hand me money. It doesn't always work that way. I've had people do that. But when God makes grace abound towards you, he can make jobs open up for you. He can give you promotions. He can grant you favor. He can give you deals. He can make people like you who never even liked you before. God can do some amazing things. So we sold that $2,500. We didn't have enough money to leave, but all of a sudden, some land sold. And Joy's family, thank you for Joy's family. Some land sold, and $12,000 came into our house. We're like, woohoo, now we got money, and now we're coming back to Texas. And so I flew down to Texas, and God gave me a job with Administat. Not only gave me a job, I was the first one they ever put on a draw against commission. So they gave me some money. They paid me a little bit of a salary. I had to pay them back, but they paid me salary. I was the very first one they ever did that for. I'm sitting there praying about how to buy a house. We didn't have the money to buy a house. And God all of a sudden dropped an idea in my heart. And I went to another family member, said, hey, we could do this. I assumed his mortgage, put some down. We had some in savings. And the house we used to rent, we bought and moved into when we came back. And within 6 months, I had a month that blew the doors off. I was the fastest salesman to $1 million. You say, Alan's coach, you're such a good salesman. I was an average salesman with God's grace backing me up, and that makes all the difference in the world. It helps. So we were sitting there at Christmas, a year from the time that we had put the money in the mailbox. We're sitting there for Christmas, having the biggest Christmas we've ever had with our kids, and we rolled a bicycle out. And I'll never forget the look on Matt's face, and his eyes got real big, and he said, are we rich? And I think we gave him the wrong answer. I think we told him, no, son, we're not rich. I didn't want him to take advantage of it. But I said, no, we're not rich. But when I thought about it later, I thought, yeah, we're rich. We have an abundance for every good work. And God gave us an abundance where we could take care of our family. God gave us abundance where we could live not having to ration out the food. God gave us abundance where we're able to give and plant seeds and mission works and do other things. Let me tell you something. God can give you an abundance for every good work. He's that good. Just say it down. But Alan, will he do that for me? That's where you have to make that verse yours. And that's where you have to believe, Lord, that you didn't do it for Alan because you love Alan and Joy more than anyone else. We weren't even in the ministry then. Remember, we had failed at a church. He did this because this is his principle, his kingdom. And you know, he's still able to multiply seed, that what you put in his hands. Look at verse, Paul didn't finish. He said, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's still blessing seeds. He's still multiplying seeds. Would you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for those of you, and I'm going to ask, please, no one looking around, but I want to do a prayer this morning. I want to pray for those of you that say, Alan, I've had a hard time in this area, but I really want to step out. I want to begin to trust God. We're not going to take up a special offering. That's not coming. But you're saying, in my heart, I want to move forward in this area and learning to trust God in my finances. And you're honest about that, and I'm going to pray for you. But that's you. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Hands have gone up all over the place. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, for your courage. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these who have said they want to learn to trust you even more with their finances and trust you, become sowers and givers. And be able, Father, to bless your kingdom and bless others and their families. Lord, I thank you that you can walk with them. You'll instruct them. You'll help them. You'll help them take steps, Father, that they need to plant seed that they can put in your hands. And Lord, I want to thank you in advance for the grace that will abound towards us as we do these things and honor you more. We thank you for that. His heads are bowed still and eyes are closed. I want to ask another question. This is someone who says, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord. I know that. He knows that. But I really would like one. Or maybe you're like I was. You were in church, or maybe you'd made a decision. You've simply gotten away from God, and you know it in your heart, and you want to come back. And so we're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. But I am going to ask you this. If that's you that I'm talking to this morning, and you say, Alan, I want to come back to the Lord, or Alan, I want to receive him in my life. I want to be sure of my salvation. I want to receive him in my life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you just to real quickly and boldly just slip your hand and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Just real quick across this auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you. Yeah, got it. Got it. All the way in the front and back, every section. Thank you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you really wanted to get in on this prayer. You can do that. We're going to pray it out loud with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer this morning. Thank you that they've stepped out of darkness into your light. What a wonderful thing that is. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.